You're listening to The Terrific Teacherpreneur, a podcast for teachers looking to grow a successful online business. Your host, Alex, was able to transform her Teachers Pay Teachers store from a small side hustle into a profitable full-time business. She now helps other teachers do the same. Listen along for actionable tips and helpful wisdom about business and marketing as a teacherpreneur. Here's your host, Alex.
Hello and welcome to the Terrific Teacherpreneur podcast. Today, I want to share about how I've earned an extra $25,000 in the last few years from only doing something that takes about 1 to 2 hours each month, which is pretty cool. I'm going to be talking about my experience marketing on Pinterest. And so here are the exact numbers from my TPT traffic section. I'm just going to dive right into it. So $13,473 is directly from Pinterest. Most of that was just under like Pinterest.com. And then there's a handful of it that's from when I used to do like UTM codes on Pinterest. It'd be like specific pins, but I stopped doing that after a while because it's a bit time consuming. And so that's direct traffic from Pinterest. And then $11,732 was from blog posts that I have marketed on Pinterest. And I've got like a bit of a journey that customers go through that goes like from Pinterest through the blog to TPT. And so it is actually technically Pinterest traffic. It just kind of bypasses the blog for link reasons. Like I need fresh links, so I use blog posts. But anyway, that is the breakdown of the actual money. And it took ages to load that on my dashboard. Have you ever tried to like go back years to like look at data? It's really, really difficult. But today I'm going to talk a little bit about when I started on Pinterest and a bit more about this data and all these numbers and my blogging too. I want to actually break down the numbers a little bit more and talk about how much time I actually dedicate to Pinterest, how it works, some of the things that actually frustrate me about what other people say to do with the way you use Pinterest. And I'm going to rant a little bit about something else that people do instead that is actually like really not wise. And then, yeah, just in summary, like talk a little bit about the time I spend on Pinterest and the time commitment involved, break that down a little bit more. I mentioned that the hour or two month, but what does it actually look like? But anyway, let's start with when I actually started all of this marketing. So I started on Pinterest at the same time I started my store. Like I had a personal account, but I started my store in, you know, around the 2016 kind of era. And I do believe I was pinning back then. Like I can go back through my old boards and find pins, these really, really ugly pins from around then, like 2016 or whatever. But when I tried to go on TBT to look at my data and put all time, or I tried custom like dates and I tried to put 2016, 17, 18, like the data just would not load. And it was so infuriating. I just sat there for ages and it wouldn't do it. I couldn't actually pull up my data, my traffic until I finally put in, I think 2019, some point in 2019. It finally showed me what I've earned on Pinterest. So I don't know what the story is there. I know that the data collection could be different. It could be something to do with that, or maybe it was just going to take forever to load. And I gave up in the end. Anyway, so that money I mentioned earlier, the $13,000 directly from Pinterest, is actually not the entire time I've been on Pinterest. About half of it, I could not load the data. But you know, around the 2019, 2020 mark, and so the last like 4 years, I managed to get that money there. And then the blog money, the $11,000 I talked about, I managed to put in again the sort of 20, I think I started like the actual blogging process in 2019. I had a free blog and I wrote a couple of posts, but you know, I wasn't even pinning or anything really then to those posts. But in 2020, I had my website built and I started blogging in 2020. It was a bit of a slow burn, but by 2021, 2022, my blog was doing really, really well. And so, yeah, I think for the blog traffic stuff, I think I put in on TPT, I said, can you go back to like 2020? And that's where I got the 11,000 from. I think it's from the last couple of years. I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel like, how often do sellers really talk about these kind of numbers? I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts and, you know, I totally respect when people don't want to share the money side of things. They don't want to talk about their data or their money. I actually respect that because that's how I used to feel a few years ago. I never really wanted to talk about my earnings. I didn't want to make people feel like upset. And I had these views on it. But now I'm starting to realize it's kind of gatekeeping and we're, you know, not being really upfront about what we, you know, the money we make, whether it's a lot or whether it's not a lot, whatever. I think if I'm going to help sellers, that's something I feel like I'm starting to feel like I need to do. And so, yeah, transparency is really important. And I'm actually going to show like photos and videos and stuff too. Like I can show you actual proof of what the dashboard looks like in the coming weeks, like on in my Facebook group and on my Instagram, if you actually want to see it. But obviously on the podcast, I can't physically show you. But anyway, just telling you. But yeah, something I've been feeling a lot lately is it's so good to actually share the numbers. If you're listening, it might actually inspire you. It might help you. It might, you know, or maybe it'll put you off, whatever. But, you know, hearing people's actual earnings, I think, is really helpful. So that's why I'm doing this episode. So let's break down the numbers a little bit. It's actually a lot more than that. So those numbers I read to you, the $13,000 and the $11,000, are the absolute minimum, and they are really not what I've actually earned on Pinterest or blogging. It's probably a massive amount more than that, but I can just never track that. And so what I mean by that is that, you know, a user will be on their mobile, because about 80% of Pinterest users are on their mobile, and they'll like save a pin, or they'll like a pin, or whatever. They'll pin it to their board or whatever, or they'll click on the link and go to TPT. But they cannot purchase on the TPT app. They can't really like purchase on the phones. They're going to have to go back to their computer or their laptop later if they actually want to buy a product of mine on TPT. And when they do come back, even if it's like a couple of days later or during a sale or something, even if they've wishlisted the item, like TPT is just going to say that they just came to TPT and bought it. It's not going to track that they actually came from a pin 3 weeks ago or 3-4 days ago. So a massive amount of money that I've earned is just never going to be able to physically show you that it's from Pinterest. But I know, based on the viral pins I have and the products that sell well and stuff, that, and like the click-throughs I might get and things, I can see way more money happening, but I just can't like physically see the actual dollar amount. So that's one of the downsides of the TPT traffic section. It's notoriously inaccurate in that sense. It will actually downplay your traffic and your earnings from marketing platforms. So you've always got to take that with a grain of salt and be like, it says I've only earned $10, but I might have earned more. It says I've only earned $100, I might have actually earned $300. It's like, it can't really track everything. So keep that in mind. It's actually more. And for those of you thinking, okay, she's talking about earning all this money from her blog post, how is that to do with Pinterest? I just want to really break down how that actually has come from Pinterest. So I make a pin on Pinterest. It either goes viral or it just performs really well. You know, maybe it gets thousands or tens of thousands or 100,000 impressions or whatever. And then that pin links to a blog post. Like the link takes them to my blog, a specific blog post that's connected. You know, the visual is like a product, or it's a whatever, a video of a product or something. Or it's like got a blog post title, you know, if it's one of those kind of value-based posts. But yeah, it goes to a blog post. And then within that blog post, I am trying to sell them the resource. And it can be like a hard sell sometimes. Sometimes it's like a soft sell. Sometimes it's just a really value-based post. But I happen to link to a TPT resource at some point in there. And then when I do link to TPT and I add that TPT link into my blog post, then I always use a UTM code. I make the effort and I track and I say, it's coming from my blog. It's coming from this specific blog post. So, you know, say you have a blog post about teaching fractions and there's like a fractions game you have. And, you know, you can go to your traffic section. You can see that someone bought a fractions game. They came from your fractions blog post kind of thing. So I do specifically label them so I know exactly which blog post brought me money. And the reason I do that is because I want to be like, I want to know which pin did well, basically. It's the only way for me to know is, say, for in that example, say I had a really viral fractions pin, and then I can see I'm earned all this money from my fractions blog post. Well, it's because that fractions pin did really well. It drove all this traffic to the blog, and then those people sort of filtered through to TBT. And so although on the surface, it looks like, oh, you've made money from blogging. I know I haven't. I've made money from Pinterest, and it's just blog is like the middleman, basically. And I have to sometimes send people to my blog because I want fresh pins, fresh links on Pinterest. Pinterest likes fresh pins and new links. And that's where the blog comes in. And then, yeah, also sometimes Pinterest has been shown to like pins to your blog, your claimed domain. I'll also find they perform well. Although I will add in, as of 2024, like this, I'm recording this right now in late March. My top two performing pins right now are actually going straight to TPT. So that kind of debunks the myth of you have to have a blog or you have to have a website or you can't use Pinterest without them. Like, well, yeah, actually making a lot of direct money to TPT at the moment, which is really cool. And back when I first started, I didn't have a blog and I just pinned TPT. So you can do that. Anyway, so this money, this like, you know, 25K, which is probably a lot more than that, meant much, much, much more in terms of tens of thousands, but that's the thing I can track. This is just extra money. So this is the reason I titled this episode as like extra money, because this is just on top of my earnings. And, you know, it's not anything to do with TPT or TPT search. Most of my money probably comes from there. This is like the icing on the cake of like bonus money I've earned in the last few years, which is really cool. And it is from a very, small investment of time. And that is the really cool thing I want to talk about today. How much time do I actually dedicate to Pinterest in order to earn this money, which is really cool. And it's actually a really small amount. I could sometimes be on Pinterest each week. Yeah, maybe I'm spending like 20 minutes, whatever. But really, I don't actually tend to work on Pinterest on a week-to-week basis, definitely not a day-to-day basis, because I'm a firm believer in only really pinning when you actually have something to share. I don't pin for the sake of it. And so every week, I don't have a new TPT product or a new blog post every single week. So I physically can't pin every weekend if I wanted to in terms of being fresh pins. So I'm actually not on Pinterest every week, which is really cool. Maybe it's every other week. Sometimes it's like every couple of weeks, or it's definitely every month. And then when I actually sit down and do it, I do batching. And so I'll like batch, you know, 5 or 10 pins at once. I'm not popping on Pinterest every day or every week and doing one pin. It's like a batching kind of thing. And it's probably about an hour at a time. But I did title this episode as 1 to 2 hours. I wanted to be like open that sometimes maybe if I'm writing really lengthy pin descriptions, like it could take me more than an hour if I made a really large amount of pins. You know, sometimes I'll spend like 2 hours each month probably. But I've definitely been known to just pop on Pinterest every couple of weeks, maybe spend like an hour. And yeah, an hour or two each month is probably all I spend at this current time, if not sometimes less, but never ever more than that. I can't remember the last time I ever would have spent like 3 or 4 hours or more on Pinterest each month. It's a pretty small amount of time, you know, probably working out like 20 minutes a week or something like that. Very low time commitment, which is really, really cool. And this is the kind of bit I want to talk about, some of my frustrations is, and I did see a Facebook post the other day where someone was saying that they felt like they had to pin every single day. You know, they had to like make 30 pins a month or something. And I was like, oh my goodness, that sounds insane. Like, how would you do that? And I think someone had told them to do that. You know, there's lots of like Pinterest managers, Pinterest gurus and strategists and stuff that will give you differing advice. And, you know, you just got to choose who you want to listen to. I'm not into that kind of pinning. It's not my style. My like Pinterest course students and stuff, we do not do anything close to that kind of intensity. I'm a lot more into manageable pinning, realistic, you know, setting yourself realistic goals, and we do things in a very chill way. I just don't like that kind of burnout inducing advice. So I have a module in my Pinterest course on pin strategy, and it's all about realism. It's like what you can actually cope with. But anyway, that's like a side rant. But yeah, Pinterest is only exhausting if you're listening to that kind of advice, and that's not always the best advice. My actual advice to you, if you're ever going to listen to someone, is to go to their Pinterest account and see how they're doing. If they're going to tell you how to do something, see what they're doing. And what I mean by that is that I currently use Pinterest for my store. I'm very active on it. It's like I do it alongside helping sellers. I'm very active in my store and on Pinterest. And my monthly views at the moment are about 1.1 million monthly views on Pinterest. So my stats are doing good. My pins are performing well. I've got some really good viral pins at the moment in the sort of 100,000 impression mark. You know, any advice I give, I've tried it myself. Anything I teach others to do is things that I've got proof that work. I've done this, I recommend this, or we do this in my course. Well, that's because that's what I do and I've seen success with. I would never just like tell people to do stuff if I haven't done it myself. So whenever you listen to any advice from anyone, go and look at their own account, if they've got a Pinterest account or clients or whatever, and check that they've got the success, because, you know, there's so much dodgy advice out there when it comes to marketing, TPT, and specifically Pinterest. There's some crazy stuff out there. So you want to make sure you're listening to the correct advice. And I just basically think that your time commitment should be really negligible. I think you should be spending a small amount of time. And that's like, let's be real. I mean, $25,000, or it's obviously much more than that. That sounds like a lot of money, but obviously over a few years, like to me, that's kind of a drop in the ocean of what I actually earn on TPT. In terms of my weekly, monthly and yearly earnings, my Pinterest has always been, I've always said, it's icing on the cake. It's like a bonus. It's not my entire income. And so it's not a crazy amount of money, not really when you think about it, but it's a really good amount of money for my time commitment in terms of how much time I spend. It's got a great, I think, return on investment for the small amount of time I'm spending. That's good money. And I can't say that for a lot of other areas in my business. This brings me to my other little rant, and that's social media. It's so exhausting. I'm really yet to meet a seller that can really like argue with me on this, but I just feel like it's just these negligible, like teeny tiny earnings for massive amounts of work. And this is me kind of referring to Instagram, which by the way, I love as a user, don't get me wrong, but I did a couple of posts recently in my Facebook group and I asked other sellers, I said, okay, like number one, So I said, I'm curious to hear how social media performs for you in terms of marketing. And I put a couple of poll options. And so, you know, I have quite a few thousand people in my group. I don't think everybody in the group saw the post or anything like that. But, you know, you're getting quite a decent amount of people. And about 46% said, I have never made any money from social media. And then 41% said the money I've made is negligible. And only 13% of sellers said that they make decent sales from social media. And if we looked at that really closely, what does someone refer to as decent? Is that, you know, $10, $100, $1,000? We don't really know. But I imagine it's probably not. And in terms of the actual amount of time they're putting in, it probably works out as a very small amount. And Savannah, what someone that I know in the GPT sale community, she is like an amazing Instagram account, very big and successful. Even she said it was a third traffic source. I assume her blog and stuff is one of her main things. But yeah, I wasn't surprised at all, basically, to see the results that although we love social media as users and we all tend to have social media accounts for our stores and stuff, the average Joe, like the average seller, is just not making a lot of money from it. It's pretty much making zero or very small amounts of money. And there are some people making bigger amounts, but especially when you get to having a big enough account to make decent money, you have to put in a lot of time. And so the next post I made asked people, I basically said something along the lines of like, how much time do you commit? And then it was like comments and some people were like, oh, 30 minutes a day. Someone else said like an hour and a half or something like that. But you are looking at a daily commitment in order to run a successful Instagram account, or whether that's 20 minutes or 30, but it's probably more likely an hour a day. And over the week, you know, you're looking at spending anywhere from like 5 to 10 hours. If you were spending an hour or more a day, you could be getting up to like 15 hours. I mean, it adds up. And that's because things like Instagram accounts require a lot of stories. They require answering a lot of DMs and comments. So the maintaining of your engagement, you know, along with obviously like scrolling, researching, engaging with other people to build a community. And then creating posts themselves, obviously editing reels, writing captions, researching hashtags, like, oh, it's a lot of work, things like Instagram. And so you're going to end up spending many hours. And I guess the only reason I'm really bringing it up is because I don't think I could ever make a podcast episode that says I make a huge amount of money from Instagram, you know, like the way I've done this episode, because, you know, it would never be done in 1 to 2 hours a month. If I was told you can only spend 1 to 2 hours a month on your Instagram, I probably wouldn't really have an Instagram too much to show for it, honestly, because I don't know what I could achieve in 1 to 2 hours. I mean, I know I could probably batch some posts, like static posts, maybe. I might be able to make a small handful of reels, but then I wouldn't have any time to be posting stories, answering messages, doing all that. It's basically would be impossible to run an established Instagram account in 1 to 2 hours a month, unfortunately. And so I could make decent money, but it would be a bigger time commitment. Like the episode title would be, oh, how I earn $25,000 on Instagram, but I have to commit 2 hours every day. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't know. That's, yeah. So honestly, I think this is what I've always loved about Pinterest, is you can earn money on there, whether it's a small amount or a big amount. But either way, it doesn't have to be a big time commitment. And let's face it, I know that many of you listening, it's, you know, full-time teaching or being a busy parent, you know, running a household. I know that all my listeners, for the most part, you know, you guys are often women a lot of the time, and we have a lot of the domestic labor. We're doing a lot of cooking and cleaning, and there's always a disproportionate amount of mental load going on as women. Like, let's have a whole another rant for a whole other day, but we do have a lot in our lives. And so when we have time to work on our business, whether it's an hour in the evening or an hour in the morning or an hour on a weekend, whatever, that hour is pretty precious. And I'm starting to, I guess, since I had Lily, start to look at my time and say, you know, is this a good return on investment? Is this a good use of my time? And I'm so much more mindful now of where I spend my time, because I can't afford basically anymore to waste time on things that don't bring me decent money. When I was just like full-time GPT seller with no kids, like that was great. I could just spend hours on social media and do whatever I wanted and it didn't matter. Basically, like I have an Instagram account for my store, which I, you know, over the years have spent time on. I don't use it anymore, pretty much since I had Lily, because I can't justify spending hours every week on something that doesn't bring me enough money. Like that, you know, works out like 5 cents an hour or whatever. So it's just not something I can justify. That's just the reality. So at Pinterest, I can pop on like once every other week. I'm at the moment just like batch uploading pins for my WooCommerce shop because, yay, I've got new links because since I opened my Woo store. So I'm like, I've just started really doing a bit more pinning there. And I'll like batch a handful of pins maybe for a product line or something, schedule them out. And it's like, you know, sometimes it can only take me like 45 minutes or something. I mean, yeah. And then like, obviously I make hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month from Pinterest. And that to me just feels like a really good use of my time. I have a lot of blog posts that on their own bring in hundreds of dollars every month. So yeah, it's always been a really good use of my time. Anyway, that is it for this episode. Everything I wanted to share, I, you know, kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the money I've earned, like the actual numbers that I can track, which is obviously a smaller amount. And then how I think that it's just a worthwhile sort of endeavor for me because it doesn't take a lot of time. And if you're interested in Pinterest, you know, I'm always highly recommending it because I just think it's good in other ways. Good for introverts. If you're not like a social butterfly, it's good for doing it in your PJs. It's good. You know, you don't have to show up and look glamorous on camera or anything like that, which is really, really cool. So I've always loved it. And if you listen to this podcast, you'll know that there's a few things I love and Pinterest is one of them. But, you know, it's not for everyone. If you give Pinterest a try and it's not for you, that's totally okay. But I always think it's worth trying. That's just my opinion anyway. I do have a course for Pinterest called Terrific Pinning. It's specifically for TPT sellers. So if you've been thinking about trying Pinterest or you want to get back into it or you want to learn how to do it, basically, I will put a link in the show notes because it has been closed, but it's opening up. And so April is Terrific Pinning's, you know, time to shine. I'm excited to sort of share that with you. I'm aware that some people listen to these episodes, you know, in the future. So, you know, you might be listening later in 2024 and it might not be open right now. So I'm not going to say it's open right now or anything like that, but I'll have the link in the show notes so you can always check it out. If it's not, the course isn't open when you happen to be looking, there's a wait list. So you can always hop onto that and learn more about the course there, see if it suits your needs. But, you know, for me, I've just found it, Pinterest has just been really good for my business. And I can't say that for a lot of other things. I can't say in good conscience that my Facebook business page or my Instagram account for my store has brought me that kind of money. I just can't, and I never will. I'm not going to like pretend otherwise. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. This is where my money comes from. TPT, my Pinterest, my blog. I've always said that really clearly are like my top drivers. After that's my email list. And like, and then yeah, that's like, that's it. Social media has just never quite made the cut, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah, that's a little bit about why I talk about these things a lot. Is I only talk about things that I've, you know, seen great success with and I recommend. I would never talk about something that doesn't bring me money and I don't recommend. Anyway, okay, rambled on for too long. If you want to learn more about Pinterest, definitely check out the links in the show notes. Learn about Terrific Pinning, see if it's for you. I hope that you have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Come back for more actionable tips and helpful wisdom in the next episode with your host, Alex. Until then.